Welcome to Moved by Grace, the podcast of Harvest Bible Chapel in Cambridge, Ohio.
Today's message is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Last week, we were back in our series Hope from 1 Peter. And verses 1 through 6, we addressed towards the role of the wife. God's solution for changing my man was the title of last week's message, because it's kind of a tricky title, because in the end, it wasn't God's solution for changing my husband. God's solution for changing my man was for what? Me to change, right? And so this week, God's solution for changing my wife. You're about time, Nate. Well, listen, we'll get to the end real quick. It's the same. God's solution for changing your wife is you change and let him do the work. A changed man is a powerful tool in the toolbox of change. First Peter 3, let's read it together. Likewise, wives, be subject to your husband, so that even if some do not obey the word, they might be won without saying a word by the conduct of their wives. Then they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of the hair, the putting on of the gold jewelry, the clothing that you wear, but let your adorning be hidden, be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very, underline that word, very precious. For this is how holy women hoped in God, used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, men, circle that word. This is for you. Live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. I gave you pretty much a blank sheet, men, this week to fill out. Ladies, you can take notes too if you want, or you can follow along on the Bible app. Should be live now. We want to go back, though, and just notice a few things from that text. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6 says that the role of the wife was to be silent, to be submissive, and to have inner beauty that God wants them to have. That if they want to change their man, it starts with them changing. And we looked at last week that words don't work. In fact, words were like banging cymbal or smashing pans together sometimes. By the way, we talked about this a little bit in small group. We had quite the discussion about this in small group. And if you're not involved in our small group, you should be. So see me afterwards. Just a little commercial there. We also see that beauty doesn't work either. But three key phrases here, and I have them up on the screen for you. Changed women learn the importance of yielding or merging under the leadership of their husband. Why? Because it's a biblical mandate established by God and molded or modeled by Jesus. Okay? The key word there, likewise, referring back to Jesus' submission and trusting himself to one who judges justly. Remember that, men, that nothing has to do, this does not have to do with equality. This is them choosing to put themselves or yield or merge themselves under your leadership. Your wife is 10 times more valuable than anything you own in all the gold in Fort Knox. Come on, guys, I gave you a chance there. Your wife is 10 times more valuable than anything you own in all the gold in Fort Knox. Amen. And she is yielding to you and merging to you because it's God's plan. And she knows the wisdom of that. If I follow God's mandate for my home, God is going to show up and do something fantastic. And she wants that. But there are women who fight submission. One of two things is going on. Number one, she has a rebel heart that wants control. Yes, they love the Lord, but they can't submit. They won't submit. In fact, they need to manage this thing in every way. Or two, she has a preoccupied, impulsive, absent, or ready to melt down at any moment husband who fails to lead, won't lead, has no time to lead. In fact, a lost and hungry pack of wolves wouldn't follow him even if he had a bag of steaks on his back. And so one of these two things is at play here. And changed women understand the importance of yielding or merging under the leadership of their husband. Changed women shine with inner beauty that is very precious to God. Do we see that in verse, I believe it was verse 4 there? A gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Not just precious, but very precious. In fact, that phrase is only used 3 times in the Bible. It means costly or expensive. Precious. God's saying women who shine inner beauty is like someone who is costly or precious to me. They're high value. Thirdly, changed women help God change their husband. We looked at that last week. There's the truth. Changed women who change according to God's word change their husband. Now we look at verse 7, men. And maybe you're a man sitting there thinking, well, Pastor Nate, I'm a competitive person. Any competitors here? I'm kind of a competitive person, and I'm a little upset that I only get one verse this week. I only get one verse, and I don't really like that the ladies got 6 verses. That kind of bothers me. Well, truth be told, men, I was sharing this with Haley this morning. The truth be told is, this is really what works best for you, right? A 3x5, 4x6 card. Come on. All the ladies are not saying it, but they're agreeing with me. Their eyes are like, yep. And the reason I say that, just from my own experience. Weekly, I get all kinds of emails. And I'm not singling out any one person, but I get emails. And they're like, if I printed them off, they're 3 pages long. And so then I start to go through them. And the reason for the email is, can I get your hot dog recipe? Right? And that comes right at the end. And like, what was all that other stuff? Why not just cut to the chase? I'm just telling you the truth here. I just like, why don't you just cut to the chase and say, hey, Pastor Nate, can I get your hot dog recipe? Why do you give me 4 pages about why you need my hot dog recipe? That's just too many words. I told my wife one time, I said, this one person was emailing me, it's just too many words. It's like blah, blah. Just give it to me on a 3x5 card. Sometimes grammar just goes out the, you know what happens? Too many words equals deleted. I've gotten emails, like I said, 3-4 pages long. The 3x5 approach is what men need. Give it to me short, give it to me sweet, put it on a card, I'm golden. You feeling me? You know what I'm saying? Am I right, ladies? Don't be afraid. Am I right, ladies? Here's a little secret, men. Do you know why the ladies only give you or text you 3 or 4 things to go to the store for? You know why they just call you and say, hey, pick me up eggs, milk, and toast, or bread for toast. Okay, I'm hungry. I'm sorry. And you come home with $200 worth of groceries. Because you didn't have a list, right? If you had a list, you're like, I got the eggs. Those $200 don't have eggs. I got a smoker, though. They don't have toast. I got avocados, though. I got cauliflower for the kids. Right? I once had I'll save that one. You get my picture. Supermarkets realized that women long ago didn't need the child seat, but they didn't remove it because ladies like to bring their stuff with them. You know, they can compartmentalize. Men, we need a 3x5 card. In fact, I had a conversation with my wife this week that I need you to go to the store and get this and this and this. And by the way, I didn't quite do that. But truth be told, we went to the market for two things and came home with seven things. But who's counting, right? Women have questions. That's why we flesh them out in six verses. Men need just the facts. The shorter, the better. And if you want more men, the Gospels are full of admonitions for us to be doing things. In fact, I have up here a book that's pretty fantastic that just covers two books of the Bible and helps you look at it. Men, if you want, it's called Measure of a Man by Gene Getz. And I put on the Bible app there the 20, he takes 20 admonitions for men to look at and to admonish them to do from just Titus and 1 Timothy, right? But I got to thinking about, well, when I think about a biblical man, I think about Joshua. Joshua and Caleb are two of my most favorite men in the Old Testament. Of Caleb, it said he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Joshua was greeted by the Lord on his worst day, when his mentor and his spiritual leader, his spiritual father for 40 years had died. And Joshua is charged by the Lord, which you'll find in Joshua 1 on that very same day. And what he was told is still true today, men. And I love these words. In fact, coaches use these words to, the fathers use these words, drill sergeants use these words to get us going 1,000 years after they were told to Joshua. What are they, Nate? What are they? They're be strong and courageous. From the scripture, be strong and courageous. And listen, in the text, just listen how many times this comes up. Joshua, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land I swore to the fathers to give them. Only, Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right or the left, that you may have good success. Later on it says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I like that idea of being strong. It's an admonition all over the Bible. Here's a few other verses. 2 Samuel 10:12. Be strong and let us show ourselves courageous for the sake of the people. 1 Kings 2:2. I am going the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. From our Act Like Men time, 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Psalms, David writes, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 says, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 6:10, finally be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. And we like that, right? We like that idea of be strong. And we like men who are strong. But many men are not good at being strong in their marriages. They're good at softball. They're good at cars. They're good at coaching. They're good at watching TV. They're good at man stuff. But they're just not good at being strong with their spouse. And I'm not foolish enough to think that every man wants to work on his marriage that's here today. But I think there are some of you that want to have this red hot, glowing, God-honoring marriage. Those men are not content in the way things are, the business as usual. I have a question, men, look up here, especially you married men. Do you remember those days when you got that 10-year-old rust bucket, sprayed it down with Armor All, dash, you could just eat off of it. Those vinyl seats, you got them sprayed down, because when she got in, she was sliding right over to you, right? Reason we did that. You remember those days? And then she... come to the, you get that door and you'd open it up and your heart was just pitter patter all the way to the restaurant, and you just sit there and look at each other. You see, so I see some not naming any names, but there are some people that are dating in church, and I see that, and I see how that works out, and I see how they look at each other, and it's just so precious. The guy's like, I just love you so much. And you're like, be strong, man. Be strong, dude. You ever wonder where that went? Well, age, kids, you know, work. That's all baloney, man. I think if given the opportunity, we want that back. Well, listen to God and His Word and start putting some things into practice. In fact, I noticed, I'm looking around the room, I noticed that many of you are sitting really close to your wife, and maybe this is a good opportunity for you to just maybe hold her hand, or, I mean, there's sometimes I wish I could do the things that I'm telling you to do right now, or maybe put your arm around her, just scoot a little bit closer. And I want to give you, men, I want to give you six things that are going to help you from this verse. In fact, let's look at verse 7 again. Let her turn the page if you've missed it, okay? You just keep your arm around her. Likewise, here's number one. They'll be all on the screen later, but let me just say these. Live with your wives. And then circle in an understanding way. And then circle showing honor to the woman. And then again circle as the weaker vessel. This is a long one, so maybe you want to underline it. Since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. And then lastly, circle, so that your prayers may not be hindered. All right, six things from this text that will transform you and your marriage and your wife. Likewise, goes back to 1 Peter 2, in context, Jesus had endured hardship for the sake of the gospel. Women are enduring hardship for submission, and husbands are enduring the harder points of marriage for the higher good and glory of God. Okay? So likewise, here's the first thing. Write this down. Build your life with her. Build your life with her. Notice I put it on a 3x5 card for you. Okay? Build your life with her. The Greek word there on the screen means to dwell or to cohabit. Our number one issue, though, has always been this: time. Now, anything in life worthwhile takes what? Right. Like, for instance, golfing. Is there any golfers here? Anybody? Okay, let me just. Anybody play golf? All right, thank you. That's better. Or have played golf? No, like, you just can't get up there and hit. We went to Top Golf. I've got video to prove it. Some of you don't want that leaked out. There's a lot to golf. And if you want to play golf, you got to spend some what? And money, right? And so, it's not just driving the ball, because, like, I could just get up there and grip it and rip it and drive it, right? And it might go right or left or never straight. That takes a little time. I got to work that out. I got to go to the range, babe. Sorry, I can't have dinner with you tonight. I'm working on my chipping or my putting. I just spent 3 hours at the golf course working on my putting. Why? Because I want to win. Or what about woodworking? I like woodworking, but woodworking takes patience, takes tools. Got to have a wood shop. And then once you have all those things, it takes what? Practice, time. You don't, like, that glue doesn't dry, like, right away. You can't sand it until, like, the next day. Woodworking's out. What about gardening? I love to garden. But you can't just let a garden go. I mean, maybe you can, but it's really not beneficial. My neighbor, Mrs. Patel, she's a lovely lady. But, you know, I noticed that every night, just before dark, she comes out and picks weeds from her garden and takes a little cup and waters. I ain't got time for that. What about having the number one lawn in the neighborhood? Like, you're hitting on all those things I want to do, Nate. Yeah, right, right. That doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. But those are the things we love to do. Now listen, hear me now. Nothing will transform your wife like giving time to her. Time is the number one currency of our age. more than words, more than complaints, more than money to spend time, communicates to your wife, hey, I want to spend more than 5 minutes with you. I want more. Well, Nate, help me. What can I do? Well, take a class together. What? You know, pottery, tango, how to speak Chinese. Don't rush home, though. Take her to Tim Hortons and get a donut and coffee. Take her to the movies. Plan a date night. Do that most dreaded thing most men hate to do and do it with a smile. Take her to Gabe's to go shopping. You're over the line now, Nate. You're over the line. Well, don't take her to the Star Wars trilogy. Take her to the Nicholas Sparks or the Disney Lion King. Invest in a box of tissues and a subscription to the Hallmark Channel. They got the new Christmas stuff coming out here soon. Engage in watching it with her. Not, remember, engrossed Eddie? Not reading a book while she's watching this movie? Did you see that? No, sorry. I'm sorry. What was that? Back in the day, we used to love on our Sunday nights. We would get the kids to bed. This was a long time ago. And then we would watch, I forget the name of the show now, but it was really impactful. What was that? Where the guy would travel, Ty Pennington would travel around, fix homes up. And you guys will think of it. But anyways, we'd sit there and cry together. It was such a really good episode. It was not really good, yeah. Like nothing says, I want to be with you, like actually being with them. Build a life with her. Recently, we've been part of the 4:30 dinner crowd. The AARP card came the other day, and we're thinking, yeah, probably should apply for that. Go to dinner at 4:30, home by 7. Whew. Secondly, study her. Live with your wife, and then it goes on to say, in an understanding way. That means according to knowledge. But Nate, I know my wife. I know my wife. Really? Yes. Tell me a little bit about her. Well, she's 5'4", blonde, likes my jokes. What did you get her for Christmas 2 years ago? Did I tell you she likes chocolate and likes my jokes? But what did you get her for your birthday? See, the truth of the matter is you might be better than that guy, but not much better. In fact, just don't have to raise your hands, men. But how many of you used your kids to go find out what your wife wanted for her birthday? I'm just doing this because I do this. Or for Christmas. Right? Your number one goal with your wife is to learn something new each week. That's why I brought this. It helps me. Maybe you need this, man. Just can't remember, like, does she like orange or does she like brown? I can't, what is the colors of shoes that she likes? Oh, orange. Have your little knowledge book about your wife. Well, that's ridiculous, really, because some of you keep stats for fantasy football. That's ridiculous. Some of you take notes on music. Okay. But you don't know anything about your spouse that you love dearly? Get a little book. Take some notes. What are you doing? Nothing. What'd you say again? Right? Stuff I should know, and I'm learning every day. So as we age, by the way, things change as you age. So you can't just go back in your book and go, oh, well, like in 1998, she liked this, because things have changed, a.k.a. Chipotle. You guys ever heard of that restaurant? Is it kind of new or something? But my wife, I would have never thought like 10 years ago she would ever eat anything from Chipotle, but I know her order now. I got it down. If I go to New Philly, go to Menards, I'm like, hey, I'm getting you a burrito. Is that okay? Yeah! Do you need to know? Nope, I got it. I ordered it just right this last time. Six things you should know if you studied your wife. Here they are. Six things you should know, men. Nothing means anything but nothing. Right? Right? What's wrong? Nothing. Nothing means anything but nothing. You should know that by now. Stop what you're doing. Figure it out. Things bug them that you do not notice. Do you guys get that? Like, there are things that you do that bug them that you... Some of the ladies are just smiling at me like, you're nailing it today. For instance, it's best for me to sit with my back to a TV at a restaurant. My daughter, Abby, used to just have to sit by a mirror, and it would just bother my wife. You know, it's just like, and you're like, stop it. Things bug them that you don't notice. Here's number three. It's a long one. Romance springs from sacrifice and planning and not from convenience. Romance springs from sacrifice and planning and not from convenience. Oh, let's go do something. Okay, what? I don't know. How about sacrifice watching the game? How about sacrifice going out with the boys and plan something? Get a babysitter. Because number four, sex is the topping on the sundae of a good day, not the fire escape from a bad day. Things you'd know if you studied your wife. Number five, genuine compliments are never wasted. And number six, a little help goes a long way. Men, say these words with me. You guys ready? All men ready? Watching. Babe. All right, here we go. Let's try it again. I mean, by now, 7 years, guys. Come on. Babe. I'll get that. Like a couple of, this side here, Vangel, come on, bro. Try it again. Babe. I'll get that. What? I don't know. The change the diaper. The dog food from the car. I know you, this, I'm guilty of this. I know you're busy. I'll take the dogs out. I'll get the laundry. Sorry, curling your toes up now, aren't you? A little help goes a long way. All that to say, build a life with her, study her. Number three, honor her. Verse goes on to say, showing honor. Men, it isn't honoring to call your wife the old lady, the old ball and chain. Do your coworkers know that when your wife calls, you answer the phone no matter what? When you walk into church, are you one of those lackeys who walks 10 feet in front of her, high-fiving your buds as she carries the diaper bag, the twins, yelling at little Jimmy and Johnny who've been fighting since breakfast? And then she sits down next to you after all the kids are in Harvest Kids, and then you wonder why she's so distant? What did I do? What would she say? Nothing. The idea that is that of a commanding officer giving praise. Some of you have been in the service. I had the opportunity to serve in the service, and I received Sailor of the Quarter one time, and it was really unique because at that moment I didn't know it was coming, and I got called up front, and I thought I was in trouble, and in front of the whole group of men at our reserve station, they gave me the award, and the commanding officer read a note and gave me a Bravo Zulu, and it was like... wow. And everybody afterwards came up and like, that's great. And what'd you do? And well, let me say, oh, congratulations. Right? And I like that. And we like that. But you know what? Your wife likes that too. You ought to heap praise continually. Listen, in public, in her presence. She ought to get the Medal of Honor for marrying you and picking up your dirty underwear that you've conveniently left behind the bedroom door. Isn't it amazing, men, that we practice our entire life throwing things to somebody or in a hoop, but we can't make our underwear from ourselves to that little bucket that the dirty clothes goes in? My wife told me, Nate, you got to tell them I'm not perfect. Nope. I'm just telling you what I see. I'm giving honor to who honor is due. Men, do you honor your wife before your children? Do you do it frequently and fervently? If little Mickey wants to lip off to mom, there's no honor there. Or do you quickly step in? We've raised three children in our whole household, and with each one of them, that happened one time. It's like they forgot. Like when Alex did it, Abby forgot what Alex got for punishment. So when Abby did it, Ben forgot. And now dealing with the boys is a little bit different, but when he bows up to mom and then he gets me in his face, that's a little bit different. Because nobody disrespects their mother. And men, your job is to give them honor. Ever seen that cute little, not so cute little video of the little guy, 7-year-old, going, listen, Linda. Listen, that boy's going to have problems the rest of his life because he can't recognize authority and honor his mother. We need to be honoring our wives, men. You take one thing away from here today, take that. Heap honor on your spouse. Spend time with her. Value her. Change men, change their wives. Number four, protect her. Scripture says, as a weaker vessel. The picture here is a clay pot, a vessel, a chosen instrument, a jar. It's commonly pictured in Scripture as a clay pot. And when we get down to the nitty-gritty about this, this has nothing to do with emotionally or spiritually. This has to do with physically. Now, some women are immensely more emotionally stronger. In fact, even when we planted this church, my wife was, there were times when she's like, Nate, you need to get your act together. You need to be strong. And she was the rock of emotions. But weaker vessel implies that both of us are weak. What does it mean? I think that's a great question. I think it means that if a stranger gets in your house and you hear them, you don't roll over, men, and say, hey, babe, why don't you go check that out? Here's a fly swatter. Okay? Right? I'm tired. You go check it out. Someone's breaking in the house. Yeah, you'll be fine. Here's a. I know in our house, in our old house, our dogs had a certain bark, and that bark meant that there were bats in the house. And I know from my little book and my memory that my wife hates bats. You know, like a guy on TV said, I don't hate bats, I hate rabies. My wife hates bats and rabies and bats, right? And we would get like 6 or 7 a year, and those dogs would just go nuts, and they'd come and like, and I knew in that moment, she wouldn't even have to say anything. I just, the dogs were going on. I'd grab the bucket, I'd grab the tennis racket, I'd go find that thing. Where's it at? It's gone to see Jesus. Okay. Here's a principle I've learned many years ago. I can protect my wife physically by showing patience in the things that seem dangerous to her. And when she's grabbing my arm because she's frightened of my driving, pay attention. We're going a different direction because of darkness on the street, because she doesn't like that. She is nervous because my tone as I yell at the referee during a football game, and she's like, Nate. And newsflash, men, women are afraid of things that you aren't. And if you want to be Captain Insensitive and sleep on Captain Insensitive's couch, just tell her to suck it up, Buttercup. But if you want to do the biblical thing, you honor her, you protect her, you're patient with her as you work with her in her fears. Keep your strength to protect her, not to control her, men. Manage your awareness in and during conflict. That's a key. Number five, share with her. Since we are heirs with you of the grace of life. This is a straight up challenge, men, to do life in good times and bad times. You are to share. Some men think that shielding their wife from the truth is a good thing. Notice grace of life. James says that every good and perfect thing comes down from the Father of above. Grace is an unmerited favor. Regardless of what you think about the giver, God, he gave you a wife. In fact, John MacArthur said in his commentary, marriage is a divine providence given to men regardless of his attitude towards the giver. Intimate companionship in marriage is one of the richest blessings in life. And notice the word heir. Heir meaning heir in salvation, heir with you. One man, one woman for a lifetime. That's God's plan. Heir also, look, just so we can say this enough, heir equals equality. Well, I need a little bit more proof on that. Okay, consider what Paul wrote in Galatians concerning these heirs. There is neither Jew nor Greek, nor there slave nor free, nor is there male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. I hear this so many times when I'm counseling men and women. They tell me, well, we're just drifting apart, and that the worst part is that I feel alone, and that's sad. Being a Christian in marriage and feeling alone, that's not supposed to happen. Share with her, men. Rather being productive at your thing, share with her your downfalls and your inadequacies. Open up to her as the wife of your youth, whom God has given you as an heir of grace to be with you. And then lastly, pray for her, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, just a question for you. Can unsaved people have happy homes? Yeah. Yeah. So if they have happy homes without the concept of the effectiveness of prayer, I mean, see where I'm headed? If they can have happy homes without it, just think about what your home could be like with prayer. Two things on this. It's hard to pray with or for your wife if you're not right with her, though. Let me say that again. It's hard to pray with or for your wife if you're not right with her. And she might do all the heavy lifting there. And you need to be doing it as well. Secondly, if you're not right with God, it's hard to be right with your wife. And God is reluctant to hear the prayer of the man who's not working on his marriage. In fact, MacArthur, Moody, several others said God is not answering the prayer of the men who disobey him by not caring for their wives. They hinder, introducing an obstacle that stands sharply in the way of a moving object. Your prayers are like moving objects. In fact, think of it like, it's really hard to think about prayer like this, but it just if you can for this idea of hinder, think of it like a bank teller tube. You ever seen those things? You go to the drive-thru, you put it in, it disappears. You don't know where it goes. But then there's a lady on the other end, and she's like, how can I help you? Right? And then she takes that tube, and she opens it up. Now consider your prayer like that, except for God's not opening that tube. until you get right with him and you get right with her. Get right with him first, men, and then go to her humbly and just repent and get right with her. Five reasons we don't pray with our wife. We don't pray with our wife on a regular basis because we don't pray with God on a regular basis. We're in our own strength, and that's sin. We don't pray with our wife on a regular basis because we're embarrassed to pray out loud, because we aren't churchy enough. Listen, men, that's pride. God's not looking for churchy words. We don't pray with our wife enough because we're faking this whole Christian thing, and that's hypocrisy. And we don't pray with our wife because I'm a real man, Pastor Nate, and real men don't do that. Wrong. Real men are men of God and obey God's word, which says, pray without ceasing. And we don't pray with our wife because it's too big of a hill to climb. That's finally some reality there. But men, look up here, men. It's not Mount Everest. It's a foothill, right? And what do you do on a foothill? You just put one foot in front of the other, and you go and do it. It's not too big of a hill to climb. Confess that need of God working in your marriage. And do it today. Do it often. Do it with her. Six things from this one verse. I hope you don't feel cheated, men. It seems like there's a lot to do there. In closing, as our worship team comes, I just have some questions. Listen, you don't have to write these questions down. Just look at them. If you want to go on the Bible app and just look at it later, you can look at these questions. If you want to maybe review them with your wife later, that's fine. But I think these are important for helping us as we understand in our dating relationships all the way till death do us part. Here's the first one. Are you partners or competitors? Are you partners or competitors? Here's a second one. Listen, ladies, this just isn't for the men. This is wrapping up our marriage, little mini seminar. As we've looked at it over the last couple weeks, am I dating? Am I seeking oneness here? Am I a partner or am I a competitor? Or am I helping them grow spiritually? Am I the help or am I the hindrance? Are we depending on external things or eternal things to get us through? Many a home has fallen apart because they've just looked at like we just don't have enough, or we're just constantly fighting because he spends too much or she's this. We're not looking at the eternal. Do we understand each other better? I feel like I can say this with some confidence after 30 years of being married to my wife that I understand her a little bit better. And I'm just shooting for a little bit better every day. Husbands, wives, do you understand each other's better? Are you seeking after that? Men, this is a question directed for the men. Men, am I sensitive to her feelings, ideas? Or am I taking them for granted? Ouch. Two more. Are we seeing God answer our prayers? Because if you're not praying together, you're probably not seeing God answer your prayers. If you're constantly in conflict with each other, if you're competitors and not partners, if you're not seeking the oneness that the Scripture tells us we have. Lastly, are we enriched because of our marriage, or are we robbing each other of God's blessing? Are we enriched because of our marriage, or are we robbing each other because of God's blessing? Those questions came from Warren Wiersbe in his book, Be Hopeful. Maybe you need to think about those a little bit more. Like I said, they're on our app today. You can get all the notes from today on there. Who needs this? We all need this. Husbands, your family needs this. Needs you to step up and be men of faith. But you can't do it without Christ. You can't do it without a right relationship with Him. Who needs this? Wives, your husbands need you following after Him, after the Lord. We all need this. Our church needs this. Our children need this. And so today I would just ask that we would place our faith in Christ and in Christ alone. And that as we struggle, it's not always perfect, as we struggle, we would be reminded of these biblical truths that God has given us. That we are to seek submission, and out of that comes something that is very precious to God. And men, we are to seek these little six admonitions here to honor and know and love and spend time with and pray with your spouse. And so that you are not robbing each other of the beautiful grace of God that He has given us in our marriages. It's a lot to do. You got a lot of homework. Maybe you could spend some time talking about that. And I look forward to what God's going to do out of that. Would you just join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. The beauty of Your word is that we don't have to make stuff up. We don't have to just kind of charge people on what we think. You have it all right there in front of us, laid out beautifully. These are your admonitions, your prescriptions for the married life. And if things aren't going the way that we want them to go, then we should start looking first at ourselves. And what do I need to change? What do I need to put into practice? What do I need from You, God? Show me. Show me what I need to repent of. Show me, God, what I need to change. God, may that be our heart. May we submit to You in that way. May we not be prideful in our marriages. But God, we ask that You would help us. We need You. And we need You to watch over our marriages. The world says it's okay just to split and to go with somebody else if things aren't making you happy. But God, we know You've not called us to happiness. You've called us to oneness and unity and completeness found in the person that You have given us. And that we are to struggle through these things because they, as iron sharpens iron, God, You are helping us become the husband and wife that You've called us to be. Help us to be faithful above all things. Help us to understand the biblical truth that You've called us to, as believers, to be married to believers and to raise up families. And God, if You have placed us in a relationship where that's not true, may our conduct be one that they might come to a saving knowledge of who You are. God, help us, we pray, even in our humor, even in our pain, even in our hard hearts, that You would help by the power of Your Holy Spirit to break down the walls that are affecting our marriages. That likewise would mean us, that we would submit as Christ has submitted our marriages to Him who He entrusted everything, the One who judges completely, Peter says. So help us, we pray, that You would do that. Above all, Lord, help us to place Christ at the center, that He would be the refuge and the strength. When we can't seem to get along, we can always come to Him. When we don't feel like it's going the way we want, we always have Him. That He would be the center of our marriages, the center of our relationships, the center of our life. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing just a closing song, short A little closing song. I know we've had a lot of moving parts today with communion and things, but I just want to encourage you, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, that's the start to an effective relationship in your marriage, is to know Him. And so come up front. I'd love to share the gospel with you. Pastor Jeremiah and I would love to share with you. So we just pray that you would do that. Brent, would you lead us?
Thank you for joining us today. For more information about Harvest Bible Chapel in Cambridge, Ohio, check out our website at harvestcambridge.org or like us on Facebook at Harvest Cambridge. You are loved.